Hello, my name is Hannah Anam. I'm an executive coach, a global speaker, and the author of a leadership book called Wired for Authenticity, 7 Practices to Inspire, Adapt, and Lead. I spent 20 years leading organizations and managing P&Ls in Fortune 500 companies. And through that experience, I learned just how important it is to lead yourself first in order to lead others powerfully. And that's why I'm a huge believer in power practices. Today, I want to take you through a practice of choosing be before do. It's about recovering to your most authentic self when you find yourself off kilter or off center. Here is some background. I believe your authentic self is your very natural state of being. It's a state where you are centered, creative, inspired, and adaptive. And actually, research shows that this state is nourishing for your health, for your well-being. You might actually say that we're wired to be authentic. Imagine workplaces where we're fully powerful, inspired, authentic, and creative. We collaborate powerfully, and we bring our most authentic, unique, and best selves to creating the impact that we want to make. Yet, life's events throw us off. We're off the state all the time. Do you ever find yourself triggered by challenges? Perhaps it's a situation where you didn't feel you got heard in a meeting, or a comment by a colleague, or an expected event or change that just throws you off kilter. It could be something that triggers your fears. It could be anything that has you feeling anger, insecurity, or even feeling like a victim. Oftentimes when this happens, we react with self-sabotaging behaviors that we later regret. So if you're like me, being triggered is a familiar occurrence. In these moments when the trigger is happening, it's like my mind is being hijacked, and it's like watching an accident happen in slow motion. The accident is happening, and I have absolutely no power to stop it. I've experienced firsthand how making the simple practice of recovering from a trigger a habit is truly transformative for me and the executives that I coach. It helps us bring our fullest and best selves to the challenges that we face every day. For example, it helped my client Jane develop a much more trusting relationship with her boss. Eventually, she got herself promoted. It helped Anne be much more confident in having her voice heard powerfully in a male-dominated work environment. It helped Mary actually respond more calmly to challenges when her default was anger. So the practice of recovery is one of the 7 practices of authentic leaders from my book called Wired for Authenticity. The practice is usually called Choose Be Before Do. So in this tool, you will first practice the 5 steps to recover from a trigger that throws you off. You'll learn how to calm and center yourself down within 2 or 3 minutes. The recovery time actually improves with practice as your brain develops new neural pathways. So the more you practice, the faster the recovery happens. And then finally, you learn how to respond to the challenge in ways that build your self-confidence, your courage, your resilience, and reinforce your staying within your most authentic self so that you can be more powerful in the goals that are really important to you. Viktor Frankl, the famous Holocaust survivor, said, "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. And in that response lies our growth and our freedom." So here's what happens when survival instincts take over. It happens quickly, but let's break it down into 5 steps and look at it in slow motion. So step 1, a triggering event happens. For example, our boss gives us some critical feedback or a fear is triggered. Step 2. Our mind and body reacts based on this perceived threat. Our reptilian brain or our fight-flight impulses take over even before the rational brain steps in. Now, that's completely normal. It's part of our survival mechanism. Thank you. And yet, what happens is your body secretes adrenaline. Your heart rate goes up. Your body is in full alert. Step 3, our brain creates or reinforces a story. Usually it's either blaming ourselves, or in this case, it could be blaming our boss. The brain is constantly looking to create shortcuts or find familiar patterns to stay alert for survival. So it's very much a part of our very normal human experience. Congratulations, you're a human being, and you are wired for survival. Step four, we react in some way based on our default survival mechanism. So we react in that same pattern that we created often when we were children. For example, we can shut down, we can lash out. Neither of these responses, obviously, is from a place of power because we're reacting from our survival or fear mechanism. And step five is basically our reaction sabotages us. It undermines our impact on others. It undermines the culture that is created in the organization or team. Because as human beings, we know, and especially as leaders, our emotions are contagious. So this practice of choose be before do was developed using the latest neuroscience to help you find that space between stimulus and response. My intention is for you to practice this tool so that finding your authentic self in the midst of fear or crisis or ambiguity becomes a habit. Because in your authentic self lies your greatest power to be present, to be creative, to be adaptive. So let's move now very quickly to experiencing and practicing the tool. I want you to start by sitting in a comfortable place where you won't have any distractions. Take a deep breath, close your eyes. And now I want you to go back and remember a time when you were triggered by some event or person. And we will simulate this five-step process together. Of course, you can come back to this recording, practice it again and again over time, and you will create some of these new neural pathways. Just like an athlete practices in their head to win in the game, you will practice to win with your goals in life when life throws you off. So pause this if you need to prepare yourself to be ready to think through a triggering event. Ready? Step one. Imagine that this triggering event is happening right now. So recall with all of your senses what that event was. What happened? We create the scene. What was happening around you? What were the sensations you were feeling? What were the sights, the sounds, the smells? And once you're fully there, go to step two. As you feel your mind and body get hijacked, take a deep breath and notice what's happening in your body. The practice is to really get out of your mind and your story and into your body and a state of witnessing what's happening rather than being involved in the drama that goes on around in your head and keeps you really stuck. So you may be noticing that you're feeling flushed, or you may feel the energy get sucked out of you, or you may feel some kind of tension in your muscle. Whatever it is that you're feeling, you may feel that your breath is really shallow. Bring full awareness to what's going on in the body. That's what you want to prime yourself to do when a trigger happens, bringing full awareness into your body. So let's move to step three. Step three is a practice of befriending your body. Proactively calm your body down because a calm body will actually create a calm mind. Take three deep breaths with me. Put your hand on your lower belly and feel that space expand as you breathe in. You're going to be counting to seven as you breathe in and counting to seven as you breathe out. So let's start and do this together. Breathe in. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and then breathe out, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Once again, take a deep breath in, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Now out, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Stay focused on what's happening in your body, in your belly, as it expands and it contracts. And let's just do a final deep breath in. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. And now out. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. You can place both your hands on your heart while continuing to breathe slowly and deeply. The research suggests that this will actually release oxytocin, which will calm you down. It'll calm down your nervous system. And it's often called the love and connection hormone. It helps you switch yourself into a state of self-compassion from a state of fear. You can also choose to repeat the self-compassion mantra. Here it is. This is a moment of suffering. Suffering is part of being human. May I be kind to myself in this moment. And you can keep repeating this mantra until you find yourself calmed down. And once you feel yourself calmer, move to step four. Step four is the practice of facing the dragon. I call it facing the dragon because in this step, in your mind, you name your fear. For example, I'm feeling the fear of not being good enough, or I'm feeling the fear of failure. You notice what's present, any emotion that's present. You don't blame yourself or the other person. You just notice with curiosity, with empathy as to what's going on. You're in that witness state. And you recognize that fear is just as completely normal as any other human emotion. It's just energy in motion. And if you fully experience and face it, it can truly dissipate. And if you need to go back to step three to calm yourself down, you can go back and do that. So now we get to step five. Choose who you want to be in this moment. Now that you're calmer and your thinking brain is in charge, you can choose to ask yourself the question, what is the opportunity in this situation? Who do I want to be now that best serves the situation? What am I learning? What is the right action to take from here? Then take a small action that reflects who you choose to be, not from that place of fear, but from the place of your authentic self. It can be something like acknowledging the feedback. In the case of getting, when you got feedback from your boss, it can be expressing your voice. It can be showing curiosity. Either way, you're choosing who you want to be in that moment when, as you've taken the time to get yourself in a calmer and more reasoned space. Sometimes there is so much anger, sadness or emotion or even apathy present that it takes a while to get out of step three and four and into step five where you're fully present and creative and resourceful. At that time, it's probably best to remove yourself from the situation, give yourself some time, a lot of kindness and compassion, and fully notice and breathe through without acting out the emotions that you're experiencing. I wish you tremendous luck with this practice. Remember, every time you practice, you are changing the neural pathways in your brain. You're creating a new habit to step into your authentic and powerful self in the face of challenge. So my name is Hannah Anam. Please get in touch with me as you do this practice. I would love to hear how it's working for you and what you're learning from it. I can be reached at hannah@transformleaders.tv. And here is wishing you the fullest expression of your most authentic and powerful self in each moment. You truly are wired for authenticity, and I wish you all the very best. Thank you.